Here's the simplest thing. Figure out an affordable rate and let people use that, something that won't undermine your quality of life, won't interfere with your ability to make expenses, won't interfere with your ability to save money for your kids' college education, and let people buy in to Medicare or Medicaid.
I got a working class blues. I work all day to take all my class.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. So, strike three. Will we finally tell the Republicans to sit down? I mean, come on. At some point, stop. Just amazing. And you got to love the Better Care Reconciliation Act. So we started off with the American Horrible Care Act, or I mean the American Health Care Act that they put out first. Then it was the Better Care Act, now the Better Care Reconciliation Act. I wonder what they're going to come up with next. And it's all poison. It's all bad. I've yet to find anything that you go, yeah, that's a good idea. It's all about, well, massive tax breaks for the wealthy and, well, the heck with you. And me here to talk a little bit about that and some other things, our good friend Isaiah Poole. He is the communications director there at People's Action. Isaiah, thanks for taking time for us.
My pleasure, Rick.
So, anything good in this? I mean, we now had a full day to digest the latest offering. Anything good?
There's really nothing good in here. It's really not that significant a change from what we've had. What we've seen previously, they're tinkering at the margins. And actually, I think Senator Susan Collins, who has been under tremendous pressure, by the way, from our People's Action affiliate in Maine, the Maine People's Alliance, actually, I think she said it best. You don't tinker at the margins. Her argument is that, you throw this out and you start over. You work with Democrats to come up with an actual bill that addresses what people actually need.
And people actually need care when they're sick. They actually need treatment when they're injured. And they need to make sure that they're not going to go bankrupt when that happens.
Well, that's precisely right. And, the Senate bill still swings a very heavy axe on Medicaid. There's an excellent article in the New York Times today, which actually ought to be chilling for anyone in their 50s and 60s who was beginning to think about, what would happen to them. Or if you're younger, what would happen to your grandparents if they need long-term care? Because Medicaid shoulders the significant burden for long-term care in this country. And if you are doing what the Senate Republicans want to do with Medicaid, there will not be sufficient money for long-term care.
Right.
There will be people in their 70s and 80s and 90s out on the street because there will be no money to care for them.
Well, they can just go home. I mean, their family should take care of them, Isaiah, or charity will do it. We don't need Medicaid. Charities will take care of it, Isaiah, don't you know?
This idea that charities will care for stuff, I do not want to be dependent on, I don't want a system that depends on the ability of people to look attractive on a milk carton or in a jar at the convenience store. Because that's what we've got right now. That's what we've had for so many years. If you can put a cute picture on a jar or on a poster, you get care. And frankly, the thing that makes me angry is I occasionally see these stories. You see them on the local news. You see them on the network news. Where a family, because they were particularly savvy and because they were attractive and they were smart, were able to get the attention from the media to get their story out there and therefore get a public response. But if you happen not to have those attributes, you don't. Why do we want a system that depends on that?
Again, you know, you're preaching to the choir. I personally don't believe charity should be doing any of that stuff. I believe it's something that we should be doing for ourselves as a matter of course.
If
charity wants to help
go
above and beyond, I'm in favor of that, but not as a core function.
If every human being has intrinsic value, then our system of health care should absolutely reflect that. It shouldn't matter who you are. It shouldn't matter how media savvy you are. It doesn't matter how cute you look in a photograph.
But isn't this more the frame of the deserving and the undeserving? I mean, you know, doesn't this come back to the Republican ideology of that there are just some that don't deserve it and they're just lazy and that frame that, you know, I'm better than you kind of thing?
Yeah, but it is, and it's a fundamental contradiction of something that I often hear from conservatives as well, which is that every human life is valuable. And either you believe that or you don't.
Well, I mean, that sounds nice in a bumper sticker.
Yeah, I'm on the side of challenging people who say that, you know, every human being has value and every human being has worth, and therefore every human being should be treated with a basic level of dignity. I am on the side of challenging our systems to practice what you preach. And that's where healthcare is a human right comes from. The fact that at the end of the day, you know, if we all got what we deserve, you know, most of us would have nothing. But the reality is that even though we all make mistakes, we all do things which, you know, put us in the category of quote unquote undeserving. The reality is that, you know, if we are to be the kind of society that we say we want to be, we have to take care of each other. We have to lift each other up, and we have to create a healthcare system that reflects that value.
So what's the answer here? Because you've got the folks on the right saying Obamacare is broken, and it's failing, it's a death spiral. Oh, you know, we hear all of this rhetoric. What's the answer, do you think?
Well, number one, to the answer to the question that that Obamacare is broken is, you know, number one, you need to own the fact that you helped break it, because there were things that were in the Affordable Care Act that were supposed to kick into place, but the Republican Party was so steeped in Obama hatred that they would not allow things to work. They would not allow the fixes that should, you know, listen, Medicare, when it started, as you could look at any major program, Medicare, Medicaid, they went through shakeout periods as well. Congress had to go back and make adjustments to those programs. What should have been happening over the last 7 years was you go in, you see things that aren't quite working as well as they should. You fix those things that are not working as well as they should. Democrats and Republicans should have been working together on that enterprise. They did not. The Republicans chose to obstruct. So let's put that on the record. But now that we are where we are, frankly, if you're giving us, and I've said this time and time again, if you're giving us a choice between going back to the free market days, pre-Obamacare, which is what the Republicans are, you know, they're doing a fancy version of that.
Right.
And single payer, I think the choice is clear. We need to move toward single payer, and the only question is how.
What do you say to those, Isaiah, who say we can't have that kind of a major shift quickly?
We can have that shift as quickly as we are willing to. I get that the politics are tough, And I get that there are a lot of people, ordinary people, a lot of them listen to or listening to us right now, are very skeptical of government and its capacity to do stuff. I get that. But those are fixable problems. And there are a lot of good people in this country that if you say to them, look, we need to move toward a system that honors our highest values and takes care of everyone, they will put their best minds to work and they will put their elbow grease in and make the system work. And because it's a public system, it's accountable to us, not some shareholders, not some big fat cats who are at the top of the food chain.
No, I mean, that's something we absolutely have to reclaim, our healthcare system, which in a very short time, I mean, you just think of, you know, Reagan forward. We used to have community hospitals. We used to have a community healthcare system, and it's mostly been privatized. I mean, I doubt there are many community hospitals left. Most of them are for profit.
Well, that's true, and you know, and we're about if you go down the road that the Senate is going down, you're going to make that even worse. I mean, I think the reality is that if you base this on market, there are a lot of markets that are simply not viable, and a lot of those markets are in more rural communities. They will lose facilities.
Yeah,
they've already lost facilities.
No, I mean, I look at where I live. There, you know, Perry County, just to the north of us, didn't have any. They didn't have a hospital. There was no healthcare infrastructure whatsoever. And now, since the Affordable Care Act and Medicaid expansion here where I live in Pennsylvania, they're actually building clinics and something of a network. And I'm told that if the Medicaid expansion goes away, so does that infrastructure that's being built. And those folks who, for the first time, have a doctor, a system in the neighborhood, will lose all of that.
Exactly, and I don't know. That's the kind of message that needs to continue to be sent to members in the Senate. So, you know, at peoplesaction.org, for example, you know, we have kept our call, the Senate tool, up on our website. Next week is a very crucial week. Our organization, a bunch of other organizations, are going to be flooding the Senate with calls. I was on a phone call last night with Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi, where we all talked about the strategy of pushing, just making sure that the members of the Senate know that this bill is politically toxic. And you know what? If a senator who votes against this bill is going to really votes for this bill, a senator who votes for this bill is really going to feel the wrath of the voters.
Yeah, considering
that's got to be clear.
Right, considering 83% of the people don't like it. You only got 17% approval on something. One would think that they'd get the message.
Yeah, but you know, some senators are going to have to lose their seats in order to really hit this home. For some reason, I mean, normally, yeah, I mean, the truth of the matter is, and we've seen this with the whole Russia controversy, we're just not living in normal political times.
This is true.
You know, who would think that in a world where, you know, somebody sends you an email and it says, this is from the Russian government's effort to support Donald Trump. It's like, they give you a can. It's clearly labeled worms. And you, like, open it anyway. It's amazing. And the consequence is not immediate. That's amazing to me.
It is absolutely. All of this, I got to be honest, all of this is amazing to me. But, you know, again, it gives us things to talk about. And I'm hoping you'll come back and share more thoughts. Last question I've got for you, though. You know, next week, as you've said, big week. What do you want folks to be doing?
I want everybody to get on the horn, get on the phone, or go to our website, peoplesaction.org. If you go to peoplesaction.org, there's a The first panel you'll see there is opposition to the health care bill in the Senate. There's a button that says make the call. You enter your address and you will get a you enter your address and you enter your phone number, and you will get a call back from your senator's office. And you can say to the person at the other end of the line, look, we want you to vote against this health care bill. Kill the bill before it kills us.
There you go.
Is our message.
There you go. Or as I found out yesterday, 877-SOB-USOB actually works to get you to the Capitol switchboard.
Oh, well, there you go. However you want to do it, let's do it.
There you go. Isaiah, I appreciate the time, man.
Absolutely. Let's keep this up.
There you go. Have a great weekend. Again, you got a call. And 877-SOB-USOB actually worked for me yesterday. It gave me the ability to reach out to my representative. So there you go. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Don't let us get old. Don't let us get stupid. All right. Just make us be brave. Make us play nice. Let us be together tonight.
Thought-provoking, intelligent conversation with a heart. The voice of the working class, Rick Smith. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.